Thank you, Brother Wells. A blessing to be in the service again tonight. I appreciate the Lord allowing us health and strength to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We're glad you're here. I trust the Lord will speak to us and help us for just a few moments. And we can glean and gather from His Word that would be a help to our lives. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So I'm grateful for His Word that we have before us tonight. It's a blessing and an honor for me to be able to be here this week. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting us to come. Appreciate the church allowing us to be here, and the Lord making it possible I could be here. Giving us traveling mercy and grace and allowing us to come. Appreciate every act of kindness you've shown toward us, every kind word and prayer that you've prayed for us. Appreciate the good accommodations, the place to stay while we're here. And I trust you will continue to pray for us. The Lord would help us and use us for His honor and for His glory. Mark chapter 9, if you have a Bible tonight and want to follow along as I read the scriptures, the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, and we want to look there beginning with verse number 14. The Gospel of Mark chapter 9 and verse number 14. When you have found your place, if you are able to, I would invite you to stand with us. By standing, we're honoring and reverencing the reading of the Word of God. If you remain standing after we read these verses tonight, then we will pray together. And again, I ask you humbly and sincerely to pray for us that the Lord would help us tonight. Notice verse 14 of Mark chapter 9. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answereth him and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Let's bow again for prayer. Father, we appreciate the prayers that's already been prayed and the testimonies and the songs. And we're grateful for the reading of the Word of God tonight. And I'm thankful for the privilege to be in the house of God. I'm glad to be among your people tonight. I thank you for the church you planted in this place. And I thank you for the good pastor. I thank you for those that have come from other places to visit tonight. Lord, we're grateful that we live in a nation that we have such freedom tonight.
And I thank you, dear Lord, that beyond that natural freedom, and that freedom as a citizen tonight, that, Lord, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I thank you that we're free in the Lord tonight, that we've been saved. And, Lord, we have the privilege to worship and to honor you tonight. Help us to do that. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. All the love we have for you is what you gave to us. And I appreciate, Lord, you loving us tonight. I thank you, dear Lord, for, Lord, the portion of the Word of God that you directed our heart to. Help us now to preach, for without you we can do nothing. But Lord, would you have mercy on me? Would you have mercy on this congregation? For just a few moments, would you hide me behind the cross? Would you, Lord, illuminate my mind and loose my tongue? Would you enable me, empower me, and permit me to preach? Would you preach through me the message that you want this congregation to hear? Would you strengthen me physically and anoint me spiritually? Would you strengthen my body and voice? Lord, would you give me heavenly wisdom and spiritual understanding that I can preach the Word of God? May the Word of God go forth from these lips of clay in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. May I speak as the very oracles of God tonight. Will the people not hear me but hear you in me? May they not see me but see you in me tonight. Oh God, help us, I pray. Lord, let the Word of God fall on good ground and bring forth fruit into perfection. Lord, would you deal with sinners that may be in our midst tonight? Would you bring them to that place, Lord, that they can humbly bow in repentance and faith and trust you tonight? Oh, speak to their heart. I set them up to their sins. May they cry out for mercy. Speak to the saints tonight, that one that's grown cold and indifferent, walking afar off, help them to get right. Encourage, Lord, the heart of the discouraged. Strengthen the weak. Feed the hungry. Have your way among us tonight. Oh, God, and above everything, get glory to your worthy name. And we'll praise you for what you do. For what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. The scriptures that I've read before you tonight, Jesus performs a miracle for this father and especially on this young man. I want to look at this scripture tonight, and if I can, try to preach this miracle that Jesus performed as a type of salvation for the sinner. As a type of salvation for the sinner. We find that here in Mark chapter 9, that the Lord Jesus, the first 13 verses, has been on the mountain of transfiguration. You know that he takes Peter, James, and John, and when he gets there on the mount, the Bible said he's transfigured before them. His raiment becomes white and glistening. Moses and Elijah appear in this glorious thing that takes place there. And the Bible said that they talk of the deceased that he should accomplish at Jerusalem. I don't know all the conversation, but it must have been something to hear Moses and Elijah evidently give an encouragement to the Lord Jesus to go on to Jerusalem to accomplish what he had come here for, and talk of that death that he would die there at Jerusalem. Peter, James, and John are amazed at this great sight and what goes on. Peter says, Lord, it sure is good for us to be here. And he said, why don't we just build three tabernacles and stay up here? We'll build one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for the Lord Jesus. And about that time, Moses and Elijah are gone, and the voice of the Father comes from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. He'll fulfill the law. He'll fulfill the prophets. And you need to know, thank God, I'll speak through him, and you need to hear him. And Jesus tells them not to share this and not to tell this. And they leave that mountain of transfiguration. They leave that place of glory and come back down into the valley. That's the verse I begin reading with tonight. The Bible said, and he came to his disciples. I sure am grateful that he didn't stay in that place of glory, that he didn't stay on the mountaintop, but he came to the lowly valley below. I'm grateful that our Lord Jesus left heaven and came to this sin-cursed world to save sinners. Amen. The Bible said, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. I'm grateful he laid aside the glory that he had with the Father before the world began and came, thank God, in the likeness of sinful flesh, came and was found in fashion as a man and humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. I'm glad he left that place of glory and came to the lowly valley below. That's what he does here. He leaves that place and comes to his disciples. The Bible tells us that when he gets there, there is conflict. The Bible said there's a great multitude around his disciples, and the scribes are questioning with them. Can I say to you, just as our Lord came the first time from glory, thank God, to this lowly estate that we were born in and live in, I'm thankful he's coming again. And when he comes, he will find conflict. He will find, and these days are here, that the multitude is around of the believers and the followers of the Lord, and many are questioning with them. Yes, the agnostic, the atheist, my friend, those that doubt the Lord, the mockers, the scoffers, they're all here. Where is the promise of his coming? Why is this and what is that? I want to tell you, friend, in the midst of the conflict, he's going to come. Amen. He will come in the midst of the conflict. I'm grateful he's on his way tonight. I'm glad yet a little while, and he that shall come, I will come and will not tarry. By the way, when he gets here, the conflict will cease. When he gets here, thank God, my friend, their questioning will come to an end. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, bless his name tonight. And so he comes to his disciples. The Bible said when he gets there, that multitude, including his disciples, when they see him, they are greatly amazed. And my friend, they running to him, salute him. Something about his appearance causes them to be amazed. Evidently, some part of that glory that he had on the Mountain of Transfiguration is still tarrying with him. And they are amazed when they see him. This is not the first time they saw him. This is not the first time they've been among him. But since that, my friend, coming down from the mount, they are amazed when they see him, and they run to him and they salute him. Must have been like Moses on that Mount Sinai when he come off that second time. Thank God they ran to hide and to cover their face because of the glory of God that was upon Moses. Oh, God help us. I want to say to you, friend, I believe the glory of God will still affect people like that, don't you? I believe when it gets on our lives, when it gets on the church, thank God, it'll have folks amazed, thank God, and they'll come running to try to get an understanding of what's going on. And now here's Jesus, my friend, and he comes and witnesses the conflict. And he says to the scribes, what question ye with them? Why are you talking to my disciples in the way that you are talking to them? Why are you criticizing them like you are criticizing them? Evidently, the scribes were being very critical of, my friend, of the disciples. They were scoffing at them. They were poking at them, my friend, as the Lord Jesus came. But when Jesus said, what question you with them? Nobody said anything. Nobody had no reply. I want to tell you, friend, friend. Hey, God, I'm glad for the day, my friend, when folks will not have any argument left, no excuses left, and nothing else to say. Amen. I believe that. By the way, tonight, if you've got a problem with the Bible, hey, God, you don't have to take it up with me tonight. If you've got a problem with the way that God has arranged salvation and what it takes to be saved, your argument's not with me tonight. Thank God. Oh, you may question with me and criticize my friend the church tonight, but it all boils down between you and God tonight. Are you listening to me? And you may, my friend, criticize the church and the method and the message, my friend, of the church, but your argument tonight is with God. Amen. You may question the minister, but tonight I'm just a mail carrier. I just deliver the letters. I just give to you what he gives to me, put it in the mailbox, and what you do with it is between you and him. I'm going to tell you tonight, there'll be a day when men will have no excuse, when men will be in silence, when men will stand before a holy God and not be able to answer anything against him and have to say amen to their own condemnation tonight. God help. Oh, hear me, friend. Oh, tonight, the best thing for you to do is quit justifying yourself. Quit, my friend, condemning everybody else. Hey, God, and my take your place with God tonight. My friend, take sides with God against yourself and agree with God that he's right and you're wrong. Amen. And come, thank God, in repentance toward him. Amen. Notice the criticism, hey God, of the scribes. They were, I think, literally what they were doing, were making fun of the disciples and scoffing at them because they could not cast the dumb spirit out of this young man. The father had brought brought this son to him, and they didn't have the power to cast him out. And so the scribes are picking at him and saying, "Where's your power? Why can't you do something for this young man?" And they're criticizing the disciples. But when Jesus asked them, "Why? What are they questioning with them about?" they answer him nothing. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. Thank God, the world is critical tonight, and never before, thank God, in church history have they been more critical and more scoffing and mocking of the church than they are tonight. I don't like criticism, but I can say this tonight. There is such a thing as constructive criticism. There is some things to be learned from criticism tonight. And the disciples, when Jesus said to the scribes, "What questioned you with them?" the scribes wouldn't answer, but the disciples didn't say anything either. They didn't speak up. They were silent as well. They wouldn't bring up what is going on because they were confounded, my friend, because they couldn't cast this boy out. Now, I want to tell you, when these scribes had laid, my friend, the charge to them, why don't you have power to cast this dumb spirit out of this boy? Thank God the disciples didn't know how to answer. Oh, tonight, isn't it amazing? The world mocks at us and says, "Where is your power? Where is your God? Why can't you do anything?" We ought to take that as constructive tonight and run to our God and say, "Lord, help us in this generation to again have the power to effect and help those that are bound with dumb spirits tonight." Amen. Amen. By the way, thank God the disciples were confounded why they couldn't cast this dumb spirit out of the boy. And Jesus told them why in the last verse that I read to you tonight. And he said, "It's your lack of commitment." He said, "This kind can go forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." He said, in other words, you've done some great things. You've had some power. You've preached in the cities of Israel. You've healed sick folks. But he said, you've come upon something that you're going to have to commit. I thank God to a little more. In other words, thank God, you're going to have to be willing to step to the next plateau. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice a little more if you help this kind. Amen. And they were not willing to make that commitment. Are you hearing me tonight? And so, here's the scribes, here are the disciples in the midst of the conflict. Jesus asking what's going on, and nobody speaks up. Until this father that has this son with a dumb spirit, how the midst of the multitude, when he realizes nobody else is going to say nothing, he speaks up, steps up, and says, Master, sir, Lord, this conflict is all about my son. It all started over him. Are you listening to me tonight? God help. I want to say to you, friend, thank God we cannot wait for the multitude, my friend, to cry out in behalf of our sons and daughters. We cannot wait for the other church folks, our brothers and sisters, the followers of the Lord, to cry out over the condition of our children tonight. It's up to us to say, Lord, I've got a vested interest in this. What's going on? And it's my son. And Lord, your disciples couldn't help him, and the scribes don't care anything about him. But oh Lord, can you do something for us? He spoke up, and if there's ever a day that we need to speak up, it's today which we live in. There's ever a time we need to cry to the Savior about the condition of our children, our grandchildren, our neighbor's children, those that are bound by sin tonight. It's this day, it's this hour, it's this time. We've been silent too long. Man, that saying sounds like the same song I've been singing ever since Sunday morning, and this is the third verse that I'm singing tonight. I want to tell you, thank God he spoke up when nobody else would. When everybody else was silent, he could not refrain. Thank God, he wanted help for that boy. Oh, tonight, will we remain silent? How will we cry to the Lord for the help that we need for our children that are perishing tonight? Amen. I want you to notice now that this young man is just like the sinner tonight. First of all, I want you to notice his condition. His condition tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. By the way, friend, just because it's 2009, just because there's a conflict going on, just because most folks want to be silent when it comes to salvation, thank God, and deliverance from sin, thank God, ought not to keep us back tonight. We've got a vested interest in our children and grandchildren, and we need to cry to a holy God to help us and bring deliverance. Amen. Notice the young man's condition. First of all, thank God, Jesus asked in verse 21, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. This young man had been in this condition with this spirit, this foul spirit, Jesus called it, ever since he was a child. And Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us that we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want to say to you, friend, tonight, hey, God, the condition of this young man was of a child. And the sinner's problem tonight, thank God, starts with their birth. Amen. Thank God, we are sinners by nature, and therefore sinners by choice, sinners by practice. Amen. Shapen and conceived in iniquity and in sin. God help. Lost, my friend, undone. Oh, hear me, friend. Born sinners. Thank God. Oh, hear me, friend. And the only way out of that condition is to have a new birth. Children of wrath by nature. That's where this boy was. Hey God, this dumb spirit that was upon him was of a child. If you're lost tonight, if you've never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your condition tonight began with your natural birth, and it'll take the spiritual birth to correct what's wrong with you tonight. Amen. Oh, you may reform, you may get religion, you may quit a few bad habits and start a few good ones. That's not salvation tonight. Salvation is a God performing a miracle in your heart. It's God, my friend, operating on your heart and taking out the stony heart and putting in a heart of flesh. It's God rebirthing your spirit. It's God making you a new creation, are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You cannot do that for yourself. You cannot save yourself. And you can't even help God save you tonight. But you can lay your head in his lap. You can bow at his feet and let him operate on you and trust him with your whole life and your eternity bound soul. And he'll do for you what nobody else can do tonight. Amen. Here's the condition of the son. He's a child of wrath by nature. Secondly tonight, not only is he a child of wrath, but notice the Bible talks about the spirit that's in him. Amen. The father called it a dumb spirit. Jesus in verse number 25 called it a dumb and deaf spirit. Amen. What's his condition? He's had this since he was of a child. Amen. And it's a deaf spirit, and it's a dumb spirit, and it's a destroying spirit. Are you hearing me tonight? That's where every sinner is tonight. Amen. Thank God, when he said dumb spirit, it didn't mean that he didn't have no sense. But he meant, thank God, when that spirit would overtake him, amen, that he could not talk and that he could not hear. Amen. Are you hearing me tonight? That's where every sinner is. Thank God. Whoa, cannot hear tonight unless God opens your understanding. Deaf to the things of God, having ears but cannot hear, having eyes but cannot see. I've been a dumb spirit, cannot say the things that you need to say. Thank God to make you, my friend, in fellowship or in a right relationship with God. That was Isaiah's trouble when he saw the holiness of God. He said, woe is me, for I am undone and a man of unclean lips. The word undone simply means I do not know how, thank God, to frame the words to say what I need to say to a thrice holy God. And I want to tell you tonight, God and man are so separated by the gulf of sin tonight that there's no way we could ever touch God tonight in our sin and our iniquity. We're so unholy and he's so holy. We're so unrighteous, he's so righteous tonight. Hey friend, he's so far above us tonight. Oh, and cannot look upon sin, and we can't frame the right words, and we can't say what we need to say to him, and we can't hear tonight because of our spiritual condition. Oh, tonight, but oh, I'm glad there is a God who in mercy will open the ears of our understanding and our hearts and let us, hey God, get to that place that we can hear, amen, and cry and call out for mercy tonight. Amen. It's a deaf spirit, he can't hear. It's a dumb spirit, he can't talk. Amen. Hallelujah. Your talk may be full of religion, amen, but it means nothing tonight. The publican had a lot to say. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, I pay tithes. Amen. Fast twice a week. Thank you, I'm not as other men. I thank you, Lord, I'm not as this publican over here. Amen.
and his little prayer come out of his mouth, hit the seat of another temple and bounced back down and hit him in the top of the head. And that old publican found him a place somewhere by himself, bowed his head, smote his breast, and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Bible said he went down to his house rather justified than the other fellow. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. I'm not saved. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going because I preach. Hallelujah tonight. I'm not going because I've quit a few bad habits and there's certain places I don't go and there's certain places I do go. That has nothing to do with me being saved tonight, but it's the quickening power of God that translated me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's the fact that one day my blinded eyes were open, my deaf ears were unstopped, and my dumb spirit, hey God, I was brought to a place that I seen myself as a guilty sinner before a holy God, and I cried for mercy and I begged for help, hey God, and I trusted him, and he done for me what nobody else could do.
Are you hearing me tonight? Hallelujah. It's a dumb and a deaf spirit. But it was a destroying spirit. Amen. That spirit was out to destroy him. And from a child, it cast him in the water and cast him in the fire. The purpose? To end his life. Amen. To destroy his life. I want to tell you, if you're in our congregation tonight, lost, a sinner, amen, and you are tonight, if you've never been saved, you're a sinner. You're a sinner by nature. You're born that way. Then you're a sinner by choice. You choose that way. And then you're a sinner by practice. You practice that life of sin. And you do what you do because you are what you are. Amen. And you don't just need to give some penance. You don't just need, thank God, to somebody to absolve you of the sins you've committed. You need to get the sin question took care of. Hallelujah. Amen. And that only can take place in the new birth. Oh God, help me tonight. Amen. I tell you, that spirit's inside of you is trying to destroy you tonight. Amen. And I'll tell you what it'll do. Thank God, if you don't get rid of it and the Savior doesn't cast it out of you, it'll lead you to the regions of the damned tonight. It'll not just end your natural life. It'll not just end your physical life in this world. My friend, it'll destroy you forever and eternity. It's a destroying spirit tonight. Oh, hear me. God help tonight. All the time Satan promises pleasure. All the time he promises fulfillment and satisfaction. He's binding you greater. He's leading you further down the road to destruction. Is anybody listening to this preacher tonight? Oh, he's destroying you tonight. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Oh, hear me, the wages of sin are still the same tonight. God help. And there's a destroying spirit inside of you. And let Jesus came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them tonight. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So here's the condition of this boy. He's been this way of a child. And he's got a deaf and a dumb and a destroying spirit. Notice not only the condition of the son, notice the concern of the father. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, "Lord, I brought him to thy disciples and they couldn't do anything for him." That's what he said. And when Jesus asked him how long ago since he said of a child, and he said, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." How long ago? He said, "Of a child. And oft it's cast him in the water, and oft it's cast him in the fire." How do we know the Father's concern? Somebody got him out of the water.
Yes, sir.
Somebody got him out of the fire. The only problem was the Father could get him out of the water
and he could get him out of the fire, but he couldn't get the dumb spirit out of his son. But he had concern. I don't know how many times he waded in the water. I don't know how many times he reached in the fire. He said it was oft. But he kept doing it. I remember being just a young boy and seeing my dad one day when he didn't have his pants on this leg right here, and on the back of that leg, on the calf of his leg, where hair normally grew, on the back part, about that much, about on the back part, was just as slick as it could be. And in my childlike way, I was curious about why that was, his leg was like that. And I said, "Dad, why is your leg like that? Why is it like that?" And he said, "When we lived in those rental houses, you know, Daddy was a tenant farmer, sharecropper, and he said we lived in those old houses, and it's so cold that all we had was a fireplace, and we'd stand in front of the fireplace to try to get warm, and you'd warm on one side and freeze on the other because old houses had such cracks in the floors and roof and walls." And he said, "I was standing warming by the fireplace, and I stood too long and I stood too close, and it got my britches legs afire." And tears swelled up in his eyes. He said, "But my daddy reached over with his bare hands and put the fire out on my britches and on my leg. But," he said, "it's left that smooth and that slick spot." Oh, can you imagine the concern of this daddy? That every time that dumb spirit would take hold, that deaf spirit would take hold and put him in that water and in that fire, and see that daddy wading in and pulling him out. But he's saying to the master, "I got him out of the fire. I got him out of the water. But I can't get that dumb spirit out of him. Can you help us?" Hallelujah. He said, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus looked at him, and in his mild rebuking way, he said, "The if's not on me. The if's on you. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe." Mark chapter 1, the leper runs to Jesus in verse 40 and says, "If thou will, thou canst make me clean." Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." But the Father's not asking if you will. He said, "If you can." Jesus said, "I can." Hey, there's no question about my ability. There should be no question about what I can do. I can. But can you believe? Oh, the if's not on me, the if is on you. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And I hear that father with tears saying, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. If there's anything in me, if there's any doubt in me, if there's any a cane in me, an if in me, that's hindering this boy from being made whole, Lord, help me with that." Amen. If that's standing in the way, Lord, I want to get rid of that because I want him to be made whole. Amen. Thank God for the concern of this father. Not only is there the condition of the son, the concern of the father, but notice the compassion of the Savior. When the father tells him, "I brought my son with a dumb spirit to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him," Jesus said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I tarry with you? How long shall I suffer you?" And it seems like since he said that, he would not give any help at all. I don't know who all he's rebuking with that statement. I think it's those scribes. I think it's that multitude. It probably is the disciples. Oh, faithless generation. How long shall I suffer you? How long shall I tarry with you? How long am I going to put up or allow this kind of unbelief in you? How long am I going to walk among you and tarry with you? Reckon what he's saying about this generation tonight. Amen. But in the midst of that rebuke to that faithless generation, he turned to that father and with compassion said, bring him to me. Bring him unto me. Well, bless his name. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know who you are tonight, parent, daddy, mama. I don't know the condition of that daughter or that son tonight. Grandma, grandpa, I don't know the condition of that granddaughter or grandson tonight. Oh, what a world we live in. What a faithless generation. But I hear the compassionate Savior saying, bring him to me. Bring him unto me. Oh, the church couldn't help him. The disciples couldn't help him. The preacher didn't seem like could do much for him. But why don't you put him in my arms? Why don't you bring him to me? Why don't you thank God? And my friend, pray and lay him before my feet and watch what I'll do. I still got compassion on him. Oh, hallelujah. But they've been this way since a child. And they've been in the fire and in the water. It doesn't matter. Bring him to me. Watch me do what you couldn't do. I appreciate you getting him out of the water and out of the fire. But bring him to me and watch me get the dumb spirit out of him. Watch me do what nobody else can do. Hallelujah. Well, bless his name tonight. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. Would you bring that son and daughter to him tonight? Do you bring that grandson and granddaughter to him tonight? He's full of compassion. He says, bring Amen. Him to me. Hey, bless his name. And the Bible said, he said to that foul spirit, thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him. Hallelujah. And you know what that deaf and dumb spirit did, don't you? It come out Amen. Of him. Hallelujah. Just like when he said to the water, peace be still. Hallelujah. Just like when he said to Lazarus, Lazarus come forth. Hallelujah. Just like he said to Jairus' daughter, Talakathuma, or maiden, I say unto thee, arise. Hallelujah. They did exactly what he said to him. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. Just like he said in the beginning, let there be light. And there was light. Oh, all he's got to do is say it tonight. And when he said to that deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him, that deaf and dumb spirit tear him, ain't God, and left him wallowing, foaming, but he come out of him. Hallelujah. Now the compassionate Savior is doing what the concerned Father could not do. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name tonight. Hallelujah. I'm far bringing your children to church. I brought mine. I took mine to church. I'm far reading and praying with them. I'm for, thank God, sending them to a Sunday school and all of that. Thank God, I'm teaching them and training them right. But I've come to understand tonight that it has to go beyond that. There has to be the voice of the Savior. There has to be a God that works in their life. It's not enough just to put a Bible under their arm and let them quote and memorize scripture. They've got to get the author of the book inside of them tonight. Concerned as you are, there has to be a compassionate Savior that casts the dumb spirit out of them and makes them new creatures in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And in that delivery room, I have to stand on the outside, and the Savior has to do that. In that operating room, that's him that does it. My hands are tied. I can bring them to him, but the rest is left to him. But he's compassionate, and he says, bring me the children. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Amen. Somebody said, now preacher, we're bringing our children up Baptist. You're raising them for hell is what you're doing. Because they got to be more than Baptist.
Yes, sir.
And that's what I am. And I'm not preaching against Baptist tonight. I want to go first class when I go to heaven. Amen. Yes. Amen. But they'll have to be more than Baptist if they go. They'll have to get to him.
Right.
Thou deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him. Bless his name. And then I like what he said next. And enter no more into him. When you get out, stay out. Woo! Dad pulled him out of fire, but he got back in. Dad pulled him out of water, but he got back in. But Jesus said, when you come out, spirit, don't ever go back in. Stay out. Hallelujah. That's the Savior tonight. Oh, bless his name. He saves us. He makes an internal change, an external change, and an eternal change. When he saves you, thank God. He's only one can get the dumb spirit, change the nature tonight. Well, we've talked about the condition of the Son, the concern of the Father, the compassion of the Savior. Would you look at me, just look at this just a minute and then I'm through. I want you to notice the change in the Son. When Jesus told that deaf and dumb spirit to come out of him, as the crowd came to where he was at, the Bible said he's laying there as though he was dead. As a matter of fact, he looks so dead that when everybody gets up there and gets around that multitude, they said, he's dead. Hallelujah. That's what they say to every sinner that gets saved. Man or woman, boy or girl, they're dead. I was in junior high school when the Lord saved me. I played on the baseball team. I played on the basketball team. And if I'd been big enough, I'd played on the football team. I just wasn't big enough. Didn't have a track team except in PE, and I run on in that. I remember after the Lord saved me, going in the locker room, and a bunch of boys got around me one day. And they said, Pace, we just want to know what's happened to you. What's wrong with you? You just ain't the same. You're dead. Paul said, God forbid, I should glory, saving the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby I'm crucified to the world, and the world's crucified to me. What don't you want to say and talk about the things you used to? Why ain't you the same anymore? Oh, I had to tell them I got saved. The Lord called me to preach. Things were different. Dad! Oh, there's a change when the compassionate Savior casts the dumb spirit out of you. And we become dead to the world. What we're doing tonight is alien to them, foreign to them. They can't figure it out tonight. It's strange, it's silly. Thank God it's almost like we've lost our marbles tonight, together on a Wednesday night, and to sing and to pray and to testify and to cry and to shout if we feel like it, and a preacher to spit and slobber and sweat and stomp and snort and holler. They just think that's silly. Hallelujah. But thank God the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I'm glad I'm in tonight. I'm glad, thank God, he made that change in my life. I'm glad he got that dumb spirit out of me. And I'm glad I'm forever changed. I can't be what I used to be. I I'll never be what I was. I may have told you this last year. Can I say it again this year? You look at this table right here. That is a tree at one time. And somebody went in there and cut her down. A logger. Cut the limbs off of it. Got her down to the mill. Cut her up. Somebody probably planed it down. Got to a shop where a carpenter kept somebody. Worked on it. Cut out the pieces. Put it together. And it's a table tonight. Load it up if you want to. Put it in the back of your truck tonight. Haul it back out to the forest or the woods. Set her back down if you want to. It'll never be a tree again. Hey, that's what happened to me, thank God. Lord, that makes me want to take a spell, show the world. That's what happened to me. I came to him a sinner that night, but when he got through with me, I'll never be the same anymore. Hey, God, I'll never be what I used to be. Hey, God, he that's begun a good work in me will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, amen. He's dead, what the world says. Jesus said he ain't dead. Took him and raised him up and said, here you are, Dad. Here's a brand new son. Hallelujah. He's alive now. Bless his name tonight. Thank the Lord. Well, we are dead to the world, but we're alive unto God. Bless his name. The world thinks I'm dead, but I'm alive. More alive than I ever was when I was in the world, when I was in sin, when I was bound with the dumb spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you happen to come by and see my body in a coffin, I'll be more alive then than I am now. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, I'll be present with the Lord. Anybody listening to me? Hallelujah. Bless his name. Thank God. I died indeed once. Oh, it's a sin, and at the cross, and I'm alive unto God forevermore. There was a change in the boy. There can be a change in you tonight, sinner. God can do the great work. But all you must bow to him and call on him tonight. Would you do that thing? Well, here's the story tonight. Thank God. I wonder who you're at in the story tonight. Are you facing the criticism? Is it warranted tonight? Do we have the power we need? Is our critics right tonight? We don't have the power to cast out dumb spirits tonight. Amen. Do we need to make a greater commitment tonight? Why don't you come? Hallelujah. Are you concerned tonight about that son or daughter, or that granddaughter or grandson tonight? That neighbor's daughter or son? That nephew or niece, are you concerned tonight? Do you hear the compassionate Savior saying, bring him to me? Are you here tonight in the condition that this young man was in, with a deaf and dumb spirit and a spirit that's trying to destroy you? I want to tell you, the Savior tonight can cast it out and make you whole if you'll come to him tonight. Wherever you're at in this story tonight, if you need to pray, saint or sinner, man, woman, boy, or girl, young, old, or middle-aged, if God spoke to your heart tonight and you need to come, we're going to stand our feet tonight all over the building. Everybody stand, please. Sister's going to come and play on the piano, and she plays on the piano tonight. If God speaks to your heart, I want you to come tonight. I want you to come tonight. Are you interested in seeing this kind cast out? Then make that commitment tonight. Are you concerned enough to bring that individual that you're concerned about to Jesus? And oh, sinner tonight, with that destroying deaf and dumb spirit inside of you that's leading you down the broad road to destruction and eternal damnation, would you call to the Savior tonight? He wants to save your life instead of destroy it. He wants to make you whole tonight. Would you come to him? Oh, would you come tonight? Get on your face, get on your knees and say, Lord, would you save me? Would you make me whole tonight? Would you get that deaf and dumb spirit, that destroying spirit out of me tonight? Would you come? Amen. By the way, you don't have to be from the other side of the tracks to be lost tonight and have a deaf and dumb and destroying spirit. You can be sitting on the church pew, raised on it, and lost tonight. Only the miracle working power of God can change you, make you a fit subject to go to heaven, rescue you from your plight, rescue you from your condition, save you from your sin. Your only help, your only hope's in the Savior tonight. But He is the only Savior, but thank God He's an all-sufficient Savior. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth and abideth to make intercession for us. Do you need to come tonight? Some have already come to pray. Do you need to join them? Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Do you need deliverance? If you do, would you come tonight?
Amen. Well, that's one.